I'll do a quick roll call. Good morning, good afternoon to everyone on today's PPSC PDP call on Thursday, the 18th of February. We have Jeff Newman, Tatiana Kramtsova, Tony Harris, Avery Doria, Paul Diaz, James Bladel, Alan Greenberg. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Marika Konings, Glenn de Saint-Géry, myself, Gisela Gruber-White. We have apologies from Liz Gaster, Brian Winterfeld, and Wolf Ulrich Knorden. If I could please just remind everyone to state their name when speaking for transcript purposes. Thank you. Over to you, Jeff.
Okay, thank you very much. It is, and I have to look up the date because I did not know it off the top of my head. February 18th or 17th? 18th. Thank you. 2010, and this is the regular weekly meeting of the PDP work team. And I thought today we're going to have a sort of abbreviated call to be just an hour instead of the hour and a half. There are some other meetings that people need to jump to after this one. But I thought what we'd start with is talking about Nairobi, which I'm sure a bunch of you have talked about at a number of different meetings, and, you know, plans on what to do in Nairobi, and then just go over the status of where we are on all of this stuff and then jump back into stage five. So with that, I sent around, obviously, as many of you know, the most, if not all, the registries will not be attending Nairobi. That includes VeriSign, PIR, Newstar, and, you know, many of the sponsored TLDs. A number of registrars are not going to be able to attend, and so I decided to wanted to take a poll to see who, in fact, was or was not attending. And so some people have responded on the list. We've not heard from others. Just to go down the list, it seems that that myself and David Maher will not be able to attend. I know James has also said that he will not be able to attend in person. Paul, we have not heard from you officially. Do you guys, you know?
Jeff, we still have our tickets, but are reconsidering. Quite honestly, we're leaning against, but we'll make a decision either tomorrow or Monday morning.
Okay. And then going through the other people, so Avery has said she will be there, Alan will be there, Tony Harris has said he will be there, and does anyone else have the role in front of them? Wolf has said that he'll be there.
Wolf Ulrich will be there, too.
Yes. Alex will obviously be there, I would hope he'd be there. Robin has said she would be there. Who am I missing here? So the IPC, Brian and Jay Scott, will not be able to be there. From the business, actually, I've not heard officially from business constituency members, but the... I'm sorry?
Marilyn said she'd be there.
Yeah, Marilyn's actually on the committee as her own, she's on it as an individual rep.
Oh, okay.
But so I've not heard from Mike Rodebog or who else is.
Mike Rodebog's not going to
not
be there,
coming.
But I think he already decided a long time ago.
Okay, so Mike won't be there. So it seems like we're going to have a lot of people that are not going to be there. What we're talking about doing, though, is a number of us. I'm just looking at what Alan posted on the Adobe. Says it's time to get something done for a change, right?
Not quite what I said, but okay.
Without the contracted parties, but so a number of us are trying to plan a remote participation site. Unfortunately, we're not going to be sure of where that will be. For a couple days, probably at least until Monday or Tuesday of next week, just so you know that Newstar and VeriSign have been talking about a remote location in the U.S. On the East Coast. ICANN is having a board meeting tomorrow. Rumors are that they may be talking about a European site. So I guess it's kind of like a holding pattern as to whether we can get enough people to do a remote participation. But the real question is to the group is, even if people are able to participate remotely, Do we still go forward with a work team meeting, recognizing that it's not as if we have a report that's out there for review? It would really just be like a normal weekly meeting anyway. Let me throw that out. If people have any thoughts on that, it'll be if we do it from the East Coast in the U.S., if a bunch of people are able to get here, or even on the West Coast, I know it'll be a strange hour. Any thoughts on that? Okay, well, okay, James? I think you might still be on mute. All right, I'm going to jump to Alan, see what's going on with James. Alan?
I was going to say, at this point, to be honest, as much as I like face-to-face meetings, I'm not sure there's an awful lot to be had in this one, unless we really are sure that there'll be remote participation with a lot of people, with a lot of the people actually available at that time frame.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, James.
Yeah, sorry, mute button's giving me trouble already this afternoon. I'm just trying to understand exactly what we would be doing in, you know, if this were a full attended meeting in Nairobi. We have a report. You're right; it's not out yet, but it's forthcoming, correct? Or should be somewhere thereabouts after Nairobi. So it just it seems as though the face-to-face meeting might be extraneous at this point, and with so many folks in this group that aren't attending, then maybe it's something we should even consider whether there's any value to having at all.
Yeah, the face-to-face that we were thinking about was, you know, it's nice to get everyone together, but it would just really be an extension of our normal weekly calls because we'd probably be although it would give us an opportunity to discuss the, really at that point, the overarching issues, if you will, that kind of permeate throughout each of the stages, things like timing issues, things like translations, and some other items. If just to jump into the next topic or to overlap, so you may have noticed that Marika sent around, now we have a report on stages 1, 2, 3, and 4, very much in draft stage. It includes the comments from stages 1 through 3 that were received by James Avery, and I'm not even sure that was on all three of the previous stages. It might have just been on one or two of them. So it incorporates those comments, and then obviously includes all the new stuff from stage 4. We're on stage 5 right now, and you know whether we have one or two more meetings. My hope is that we can finish up stage 5 before Nairobi. And then we would just have to, you know, concentrate on looking at the report and then going back to some of the issues and the overarching ones. So, you know, that's the thinking. So at this point in time, you know, we'll wait to see what happens with the ICANN board and to see if there will be a remote location. Because if people are going to be there, and there are enough people at one or more remote locations that are willing to dial in at that point in time, you know, it still may be useful to do a meeting. But we'll kind of play that one by ear. So that said, where we are right now, I think I went over. We've done stages 1 through 4. There's a report out on each of those stages. It's a combined report that's now up to something like 90-something pages, and there's still fairly big holes in those. So the plan is to really just go to finish up stage 5 for Nairobi and then start on the overarching issues and going back to things that we may have missed. Okay. That said, Marika, you have a comment?
Yeah, this is Marika, because we definitely will need to go back to the report and some of the different stages, because there are quite a lot of areas where we haven't come to concrete recommendations. We have talked through the issues, you know, there are different points of views, or we haven't gone into the depth yet, like, okay, so what is that we want to recommend? Is there something that we can agree on? Is that something that, you know, would require something in the bylaws? Is it something that we would just like to see in a PDP guidebook or guidelines? So I think at a certain point in time, maybe when we have all the five stages together, and maybe even before going into the overarching issues or maybe in parallel, I don't know what will work best, we'll need to go back through all of these things and see where we have recommendations, if we agree with those, where there are no recommendations or to be decided, to actually discuss, okay, so what is it that we want to put in there? So that probably will take us back to some of the initial discussions, but we still need that content or, you know, context to come up with those actual recommendations.
Some of you that have long plane rides and are going to Nairobi, you have plenty of time to actually read the 90-page report to give us your comments and thoughts on some of those areas that have holes in them.
I was thinking we'd use the time when we're not having the meeting.
That's quite possible. And it's not as if you don't have a lot of other documents that ICANN has put out to read either.
In the last 2 days.
Yeah. Okay. So Avery has said if they're in economy, they won't have enough room to open up the laptop. So that's Avery. You either do it the old-fashioned way, where you print it out on paper, or you, if you have some money, you can go get a Kindle or actually a Sony e-reader. You can load documents in PDF form. Okay, so that said, why don't we go back to you know, one of the things I wanted to ask Marika and actually ask a bunch of the people on the call. So the working group work team has put out their preliminary report, and that's out for comment. I do think that there are some areas that kind of either refer to us in that report or that may overlap with things that we have talked about. So, Marika, I was wondering if there was a way that at some point in the next couple of days, if you could kind of go through that and point out some of the areas of overlap or some of the areas where they kind of refer to us.
This is Marika. I mean, I can already provide some detail. I mean, they have put in there a placeholder for, you know, specifics that come out of the PDP work team discussions and recommendations on what is, you know, different from a normal genus or working group and what is specific to a PDP working group. I think on most of the other issues, there's not that much overlap. There are still the outstanding questions that we've asked on how to treat you know, recommendations that are not consensus, but maybe strong support, and there are, I think, some answers coming forward from the working group work team. Another issue is, and I think that's something we actually discussed internally, and it's maybe something that needs to come back here or actually in the working group work team, is more guidance on what it actually means to have you know, rough consensus, strong support. That's actually something I think that we found that in I think the BGC report, where they actually asked for more examples, and now looking back in what we actually done in the working group guidelines, it still leaves it more up to the chair's discretion. So maybe something this group at some point we need to discuss as well in providing guidance to PDP work teams, where, you know, you might be designing consensus policies, whether there should be any further details on what it means, you know, the different voting thresholds or, you know, how do you call them, assignments that you give to the support that exists for a certain position. And I think that's as far as I can tell. I'll definitely look back to see if there are any other elements. And, you know, Avery has been very active in that group. She might have some other points that she sees as overlapping.
So, and I'll wait to see if Avery wants to add anything, but one of the things also I noticed, which kind of relates to the topic that we're discussing today, unless I'm just imagining things, which wouldn't be the first time today, I believe it does talk about the roles of persons like the liaisons and others to the council, and in doing so, I think may cover a little bit of, or is part of our discussion on number 2 in stage 5, which talks about, should the, you know, stage 2 is really GNSO council review of a particular PDP. So, in other words, you know, talking about, does this, the GNSO should review things like whether the scoping of the issue still remains valid, you know, things like, are all relevant stakeholders aware of and involved in the process? I do believe the working group report touched on some areas of making sure at least that the council was being informed if during the PDP that, for example, the relevant stakeholders weren't being included in the process or involved in the process. Aubrey, is that...
There's two things I wanted to add. First, I was going to say I had nothing to add, but then things went on and I thought I did. One is, I think, though, there's a difference. There's the things that the working group has to report on, like you were just saying. Was there, you know, sufficient diversity of opinion? How were things dealt with? What were the conditions under which strong support or rough consensus or consensus was reached? In terms of what the council does with that, and as the working group's got to give a true report of where it got to. It also talks about the role of the liaison and all that stuff. You're quite correct. In terms of, though, what is the meaning to the council of that, I think that's where a normal non-PDP working group and a PDP working group might have different behavior responses from the council. In other words, on a regular recommendation, a rough consensus versus strong support may mean one thing versus it means another thing in a PDP. And I don't think that the working group work team necessarily will get into how should the council treat various levels of report that come out of the working team, whereas I think the PDP group should deal with that because they go beyond the working team's work. They go to how the council wraps this thing up. So I do think that there's a slight difference in the scope of these two groups where the working team really stops at the delivery and the PDP goes, okay, what do you do with the delivery?
So I think, Aubrey, you may be more referring to in stage four, when the council gets the recommendations to the working group and what it does with it and how it transmits that to the board and what its responsibilities are. In this stage, what we're talking about is UNISO council review after the fact. So the policy's already either gone to the board, has been voted down, whatever's happened has happened. Implementation may have already happened or may not have happened, depending on how everything came out. This phase now deals with, after all that's happened, should the council then review, which is why it's a little confusing that it's in this stage, should the council review or do an assessment at the end of the process as to how that went? Marika, you have your hand raised.
Yeah, this is Marika. I mean, something that the working group guidelines do include, and that's more, you know, what Ivory talks about as well, that, you know, they really look at what happens from the start of a working group till the end of the working group and don't really look further. They have as well this self-assessment at the end of a working group where they look back and saying, well, how did we do our work? Did we indeed have enough representation? Did we have enough participation? And maybe some recommendations as how to improve things. So, you know, there might be a link there, but, you know, they don't really look further to, you know, their end product and what does the council do with it and what kind of impact it might have. That's not really covered in the working group guidelines. But again, that might be incorporated once the specifics from this working group come out. That might then be, because we foresee that there would either be, you know, separate sections or, you know, a separate chapter or just a completely separate document, you know, the two going together that specifically focuses on PDP working groups, because they'll have, you know, specific requirements and, you know, timelines and objectives that they need to achieve that will be different from, you know, normal working groups that are not PDP working groups.
So, and this is just my own personal, not chair or registry, or in reading question two, I really thought that, one, to do an assessment, council to do an assessment after every single PDP, it's probably going to be excessive and not be able to be done. But really question three or issue three, which is the periodic assessment of the overall PDP process, may capture some of the elements in number two.
Jeff, it's Marilyn, and I'm sorry to be late. I have a comment on this.
Sure, please.
I think that periodic is probably the right term, but since we're making significant changes to the PDP process, and it hasn't been changed in a very long time, and we really have lived without the updates that were recommended a number of years ago, maybe we would want to propose a review at the end of a year and then periodic.
Yeah. You're talking about a review of the overall PDP process as opposed to a review of an individual PDP?
I am, because a review of an individual PDP, you know, I think you'll have to review individual PDPs, but I think the overall PDP process should be assessed to see if the changes that were made address the limitations that were identified in previous evaluations of the PDP.
Okay, I agree with that, and I think you'll probably find agreement from the people on this group. So let me try to go back, and then I'll get to Alan. So the real question is, and this issue two, which is the GNSO Council review, should the GNSO Council be required to conduct an assessment at the end of a PDP process? If yes, what elements should be included? The Board Governance Committee Working Group report suggests checking, one, does the scoping of the issue remain valid? Are all relevant stakeholders aware of and involved in the process? Has no one stakeholder group been dominating the process? Did they get the necessary expert opinions? Data, to make sure that data was provided and used where appropriate, and can the proposed policy be implemented? I almost think all of this is in the wrong stage that we're talking about this, that we already kind of have talked about this stuff when the working group is operating and, you know, possibly having something happen, maybe some sort of GNSO council review initiated by possibly the council liaison while a PDP is ongoing. But to ask all of these particular questions after the process is over, I'm not sure is effective. But let me, Alan?
Yeah, I think most of those questions are not talking about the appropriateness of the PDP process, but did that particular PDP go well? And I think these are two different, very different things. I mean, what Marilyn said is true. We're coming up with a completely new PDP process that is different in at least some aspects, and very, probably will be very different in at least a few aspects. And I think it's important to understand, to put it bluntly, did we mess up? The question of was any particular PDP dominated by one group or another, or did they use the external resources properly, or was data provided properly, is an operational issue for that particular PDP. And I think these are very different things. I would think we don't do that many PDPs. I would think it would be reasonable for the first few, that at least the first few that are done under this new process, for the working group to report back to council on how appropriate were the new rules they were operating under. And if indeed council starts getting reports from the first two or three PDPs that it isn't working, then council has to make a decision on whether to revisit the issue or not. But I think these are two very different kinds of reporting we're talking about.
And just to clarify, it isn't. I'm just thinking about who gives that feedback. Since the PDP includes a heavy reliance on working group, not on council, the feedback is from the working group, Alan?
I would think the feedback is from the working group to council.
Got it. Thank you.
So, okay, which would be separate than feedback on, you know, in stuff we talked about in number one, which is an assessment of the actual substantive recommendations. So you're talking about recommending, at least for the first few PDPs that are completed after the new process goes into place, having or recommending to the council that the working group does an assessment of how everything worked for that individual PDP, including doing an assessment of whether someone should do an assessment of whether the council got it right as well. Did the council do what it was supposed to do, or did the council go beyond what it was supposed to do, or did that element of the PDP not work?
Yeah, I'm not sure who would do that. The kind of thing I'm referring to is right now, anytime you do a PDP, we start off with a statement that the rules and the bylaws are stupid, we cannot meet those time frames, whoever thought of them didn't understand reality. We need to see if there's similar problems with the new set of rules. In other words, are the rules realistic in the real world, or did we get something wrong in this group and everyone who ratified us? That was the issue I was talking about.
So I definitely saw that for the third one, which is the assessment of the overall PDP process. Right? There are two different issues here. There's one, which is the effectiveness of an individual PDP.
Right.
And the next one is the overall effectiveness of the entire process.
Yes, and that's the one that I'm suggesting. There should be reporting back from each working group for at least a while, and council should consciously address it if there are problems that are identified.
So feedback from the working group on each of the PDPs that would essentially serve as data points for the assessment of the overall process.
Sure.
Okay. So I think that makes sense. I'm not sure about some of the questions that are asked in number two are actually appropriate, I think, for the working group to opine on. Did the scoping remain valid throughout the term? Did you find that essentially, did you have to change the scope or recommend the changing to the scope as things went on? Did you find that you had involvement from all the relevant stakeholders? If not, who participated and who didn't? Not individual names, but, which stakeholders generally participated and why. I mean, there could be a very logical explanation as to why one stakeholder group participated much more heavily than others. So to do an assessment on that. Paul, you have your hand raised?
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. I just wanted to follow on. Listening to what Alan said, it made perfect sense for me for number three, but I was also, I guess, a little confused about number two and what you were just, as you were going over the issues, pardon me, and trying to get your head around, what we say. I guess I'm just left sort of wondering, to what end would answering some of these questions, how would it help? For example, the who participated, who didn't, not individual names, but stakeholder groups, constituency groups. I'm just left wondering, what do you do with that information when you report it back to council? So a particular PDP is initiated, it has whatever level of participation. For more extreme example's sake, let's say it's fairly low regular participation. After some long period of time, they finally reach a report and there's strong differences of opinion on the success of the work. Do we really need even more process to say that this was not a successful policy initiative? That we couldn't come together, really, move the issue forward, et cetera. And let me use a real-world example. I love to come back to the Fast Flux Working Group. There were lots of problems identified with it before it got started. It managed to get through as a PDP because of the particular voting thresholds at the time. It was honestly very painful for those of us involved, grinding through month after month. When it's all said and done, we generated a report that didn't really change anything. It just highlighted problems that people recognized from the start, but there was no sort of way forward. So I'm just left wondering, what is our goal here? What will we do? Number two, going back to council, asking the working group to continue to be involved, to continue to highlight those sorts of problems. Just help me understand, what is our goal? What do we want out of this extra effort?
So I think, and then I'll go to Alan. I think during the process, I think this information is helpful while a PDP is going on. know, for a couple reasons. So you took kind of the fast walks. I'll take a positive one. So let's say domain tasting. We had pretty good involvement by most of the stakeholders. At that point in time, if the working group can report back to the council and say, hey, look, we had great participation from all the groups got together, and we came to this conclusion, hopefully that would stop the debate from taking place at the council level and rehashing all of the issues. So on the positive side, a good report from a working group could essentially or hopefully put an end to the debates that, you know, essentially council acting as a legislature, but basically looking at the process and saying, look, the process worked, and therefore we should trust what came out of the working group because they spent much more time on the issue, and they were fairly representative, did use the data, and they did have the experts that had the opinion, so we shouldn't really substitute our own opinions for it. So that's a positive way that I think the council can use the data. But I totally understand, you know, in the end, after the process is over and you're asking these questions, I don't think for any one case that there's any action item out of that. But I think if you take five PDPs that have occurred and you're getting the same feedback every time, then it's possible, as Alan said, it's possible for the council to go, wait a minute, something's not working here. We need to change the process because it could be the process that's causing the lack of participation or the lack of experts or the lack of data or whatever it is.
Jeff, it's Marilyn. I'm also going to, as someone who works on policy in a number of IGOs, such as the ITU and OECD, APEC, a number of other places besides ICANN, and also within a company, and within the industry, I'm just going to offer a comment that I think may be very frustrating if you're in the working group or even if you're in council. But sometimes the exploratory process that a working group goes through is the most significant outcome in a policy development process. Sometimes as effective, this is hard to believe, but, you know, sometimes it can be as influential at change as an actual change in policy. And I think we have to be careful not to judge the council on the number of delivered policies they make. Otherwise, we do, you know, we're measuring people on whether they change as opposed to whether they're making balanced, effective policy. But I think you got my point.
Yeah. Alan, you have your hand raised?
Yeah. I think the benefit of this kind of thing depends on the specifics. In the FastFlux example, maybe there's some merit in navel gazing and trying to understand what happened, and maybe not. I'm not absolutely sure of that. You gave the example of a successful PDP where everything, you know, worked well, and that could reduce the amount of re-debate that council has. There's the other side also. If you have a PDP that does make policy recommendations, but it was heavily imbalanced or some of the other questions have not as good answers, that may influence how council decides to vote on that and whether to approve it and pass it on to the board or not. So I think in both in a PDP that does recommend policy, the specifics of how the process went and a synopsis report of that, I think, is important for council to understand. Now, that may or may not actually come out in the report. I would think in some cases all of this should be included as part of the report so that the report is taken in context. But if it isn't in the report, I think it's important information for council to have prior to its vote.
So that's prior to its vote, and again, I hate to keep coming back to this, but this is supposed to be, what we're talking about now is a review after the vote, everything has already taken place.
Okay, but your example was also prior to the vote, that you said
in the
domain tasting, it may remove the need for additional debate in council. So I was taking the side of a less successful working group, which still comes out and recommends consensus policy.
And I agree with that, and I think and I guess my point was really that these questions really belonged at possibly a separate stage.
Okay.
Right. And so I think you're agreeing with me at that. The question is that Paul was raising: is there utility in doing this after the process is over, and how will that information be used? And I think the point was, we could do it after the first few PDPs, and that could be data points for the number three, a periodic assessment of the overall PDP process. But I'm not sure doing it after a PDP, an individual PDP, is over, has any real other independent value. But James and then Avery.
Yeah, thanks, Jeff. This is James, and I was going to jump in and support what Alan was saying earlier. But now I think I'm confused as to where in the sequence this is occurring, so I'm not sure that it has as much value as it did maybe 5 to 10 minutes ago when I was still a little off. But, I think that there are merits to doing this. There are merits to this kind of review. And I'm not going to beat up on the fast flux group or any other specifics, but it's easy to picture a hypothetical working group that struggles for a year and then produces a controversial report where a strong majority is on one side and a substantial minority is on another side, and then to understand that especially if there's a pattern where that substantial minority is not participating in the working group process, so just kind of jumping in on the 11th hour and getting insertions made into the report, so they weren't going through that exploratory process that Marilyn was describing. So I think that there's value in that, especially if it establishes a pattern over time. And I think that can feed the policy, whether it's voted on either whether it comes prior to a council vote or whether it goes into a board vote, or even if it's just ammunition to go back to a reconsideration. Could help to serve that effort as well.
Okay. Aubrey?
I actually think that there's value in the totally after everything is said and done review of the PDP and how it worked. And one reason for thinking that it's totally after everything is done is because hopefully at that point we're not still lobbying one way or another for our viewpoint. I think that it was one of the things that Marilyn said, that we're changing the PDP now for the first time in a long time because, it's been getting more and more broken over time. I think that we're also, with the recommendations, going more into this, are we getting consensus? Are we getting beyond the strict silo mentality? Are we including all voices? And we're taking a guess at it at this point in terms of creating a new PDP process. And I think it's only after it's been run several times in several different cases that we'll have an awareness of that and we'll start to understand. And, I've always had this notion that any of these processes need to be reviewed periodically. These, after everything is said and done, reviews are the contribution to that. Now, exactly how you do that, is it the PDP group, or is there a meeting at every face-to-face where every PDP that's been finished is sort of, you have a postpartum on it? I don't know. But, it does seem to have value in doing something like this when it no longer can affect the decision, when all you're really reviewing is, did the process work? Did it not work? What worked? What didn't? Because it's always going to be some stuff worked, some stuff didn't. So I do see value in that, in the notion of ever improving the processes.
So what if you find with, Aubrey, if you find an individual PDP, it was all wrong. It got approved, it got through the council, it got to the board approved it. You just realize, hey, look, we're looking back on it. It really wasn't representative. The experts got the data. The data was all wrong. We didn't involve everyone we should have. The next question is, what do you do with that?
Okay. My opinion is, I guess there's two things. One of them is figure out why that went wrong and get the lessons learned so that future PDPs, you can hopefully avoid those mistakes. Second of all is a different process if it really is broken and a broken policy is now in effect, then you know, the policy managers have to look about it and see, do we need to fix this policy? But that's a separate issue. For this part of the review that I'm most concerned about, I think, is that, well, how come it was allowed to go so badly? Why was it not caught? You know, should it have been, what could have happened? What could we have done if we had caught this at the time? Could we have noticed? Et cetera. So you've got something there that's an incredibly valuable lesson to learn from because you don't want it to happen again. And so in terms of this review, that's what I'm thinking of.
Jeff, can I get in the queue on that?
Yep, Marilyn.
So I'm going to comment that I think that this is actually a different. I think this question is actually a different question. Let me pose it. That is, if in the middle of a PDP process, this kind of both during or after this kind of problem is identified, how does a PDP get paused and restarted? Because let's say, and I think this could easily happen, you write a terms of reference, you have certain data in the course of running the working groups, you discover, you know, significant other information that is not being taken into account, I don't know, something else phenomenal happens. And so your terms of reference are wrong, your process is wrong, and your scope is wrong, and you're in the middle of it. So if you continue it, the end result is going to be what you described. So I'm not talking about assessing a PDP. I'm talking about what would it take to pause and start over if that were the right thing to do, and is there a mechanism to do that? Would, for instance, in the midst of this, a group who feels that they've been completely disaffected be able to file an ombudsman report or an independent review and through that process impose change on a existing PDP process? I don't know the answer.
So let me go to Avery and Marika. When the working group tackled this issue, they tackled sort of around this issue, it's the role of the liaison to actually bring issues to the council's attention?
Yeah. That's what I put up my hand back up for. Yeah, there's basically been set up a whole chain of appeal mechanisms that the disaffected take that start out with the chair, that go to the liaison, that go to the council, and then obviously there's always, you know, the ombudsfellow at the end of the chain. So yes, the working group did put in. Now it didn't get into what Marilyn talked about, the notion of starting and restarting a PDP, because again, that's outside of what the working group does. That's within the council's area of, well, what do you do if something's irretrievably broken? Now, you don't necessarily need to restart the PDP, but you may need to restart the working group or what have you. But certainly the notion of escalating these kinds of problems to the council and beyond exists, and it has been put in various ways, the working team recommendations.
I'm looking through the report, the draft report that we have, and we talk, you know, in stage three about the activities of the working group, you know, that's aside from what the working group recommendations were. Stage four is voting and implementation. I'm just trying to look to see if we talked about council deliberations and the council can send things back if it finds a problem, right, and this in theory could be a problem with the report, that the council could send things back. Do we need to expand on that more? Do we need to set up this kind of official process of taking, you know, if if the working group liaison, if the liaison to the council comes back to the council and says that the working group's just not operating correctly, do we need to spell out what the council's options are at that point? Marika, you have your hand up?
Yeah, this is Marika. I just wanted to point out as well, like, if the working group agrees, like, well, you know, we really got it wrong in the charter because now there's data available and our term of reference is completely incorrect and it needs to be changed, they always have the possibility to go through the chair or the liaison to go back to the council to say, look, we would recommend to make these changes to the charter. Do you agree? For these and these reasons, because we think, you know, this new information means that, you know, that charter question is no longer correct or et cetera. So that the working group has always the possibility in the process, if there's consensus in the working group and support, of course, from the GNSO Council, to change its charter or change its, you know, reference framework to do so. So I don't know if there's a separate process is needed, but that possibility exists as well.
Okay. James?
Yeah, I just wanted to add that, you know, the long time ago I was an engineer. It just sure seems like you don't want to have a process for starting a mechanism if you don't also have a process for shutting it down. And we don't know why one would want to do that necessarily, and I don't think we need to. You know, maybe it's been obsoleted or the issue is no longer relevant, but I just feel like you need that symmetrical mechanism to take something back to a council at a certain point to say, is this still necessary, or we feel that this is no longer necessary because, and then offer that up. It seems wasteful to say that once a process is started that it must run through its course.
So what it sounds like, the last several minutes of discussion is again, really during a stage three while the working group is actually doing its work, I do think we need to put some of this in that stage. Marika, could you forward around to the group the language that deals with, from the working group report, that deals with these appeals or the mechanism of getting the issue to the council, and then perhaps we could take it from there and make some recommendations as to what council should do with that once it gets it, and then the options council has after it looks into that matter, and perhaps
All
that can go into that section.
Yeah, I can forward that, no problem.
So it sounds like, at least with the group, that there's strong agreement that should happen and that we should define a little bit more during the working group process. Sounds like this is useful information for a working group to, at least for the first few work PDPs that are done after this whole process is put in place, to do completely after the fact, that would feed into an overall assessment of the PDP process. So why don't we jump there to the overall assessment of the PDP process? Now, Marilyn had thrown out that we should do an assessment after a year, see if it's working, and then, you know, after that it could be at less or more periodic intervals, as opposed to, you know, 1 year, it could be every few years after that. Let me throw out another option, and again, I'm not saying this is a good option, I'm just saying this is another one, is what if you wait for a certain number of PDPs to go through the process, and then it's not defined in terms of years, but defined in terms of number of PDPs. Is that an option, as opposed to just saying arbitrarily it's going to be a year? Paul, you have a comment?
Not to be a smarty, Jeff, but if you do the number of PDPs, you're going to be talking many, many years. Now, my other question, or my only thought was, is there another avenue here under the broad areas under the affirmation of commitments? The various looks at ICANN's efficiency and processes and whatnot, does the policy-making process, hence the PDPs, does the AOC envision looking at that level of detail? So is it already built in that, you know, within the next 3 years or whatever, there will be a review? I'm not sure. It's just a question for the group.
So, Marika, do you have an answer to that or separate point?
Definitely no answer to that question. I just wanted to point out that in another working group, there was a discussion on how long does it take to actually do a PDP. And there, if you look at the average numbers, it takes on average a year to actually get a PDP from initiation to a vote by the council, not even the board or implementation. So, you know, maybe neither option is ideal, but if you just looked at a year, you might run the risk that not one PDP has actually been completed from start to finish, so it might be difficult to actually review it if you haven't gone through all the stages that a new PDP process would prescribe.
Yeah, so I think that's right. A year may be too soon, because you really shouldn't go back and review the entire process until at least one or more PDPs have gone through the entire chain. But I understand that if you say 5 or 10, you could be talking 10 years, I mean, in theory.
The other problem is PDPs are very different, and what works well for one may not work well for another. So just saying 3 PDPs, I'm not sure a time limit or number-driven is relevant. I think problem-driven is going to be what's really going to drive the review. You know, or revamping.
So can you expand on that? You said problem.
It's one of these things. If things are working, then we're not going to go into any real major review of the overall process. I think any conscious effort to review the process and the details is going to be driven by problems.
Right.
Actually, Alan, I think there has to be a scheduled review. It's Marilyn, sorry. I think there probably has to be a scheduled review period. Otherwise, because it's going to take resources to do the review, scheduled, right?
I'm not disagreeing. I just don't think it's really going to happen unless it's driven by some real issues.
Jeff,
if I can make a comment based on what the working group work team is proposing, because basically what they're proposing is saying there will be a review every year, but a review basically means the council saying, are there any issues? No? Okay, we go ahead. And indeed, it's a bit the model that Alan proposed in saying, okay, if there are any big issues identified, then those will get looked at. But at least there is a specific point in time where the council just turns around and goes, does anyone have any comments or any serious issues that we need to address? No? Okay, then we just continue and have some kind of standing committee maybe or a kind of group that then can look at those issues that are being raised. If someone says there's a real serious problem here and that needs to be addressed now, because otherwise, no, we run into serious problems with other PDPs. And that might be a bit of a combination between the two suggestions.
You took kind of the words out of my mouth. I think what I was going to say was that the PPSC, the steering committee above the PDP work team and the working group work team, it was envisioned by some, now maybe not all, but it was envisioned by some that the PPSC could be a standing committee to review issues as they come up, and then maybe also you could say that after 5 years go by, you do a complete review. So what do people think about the, and Aubrey's got a check mark, I'm not sure how long that's been there or which concept that was for agreeing with, but what do you all think about the notion of making a recommendation that the PPSC or some other committee set up by the council should be the standing committee to look at issues as they come up? Aubrey agrees. Anyone else have any thoughts on that?
I support the concept. I'm, again, not 100% sure it will actually happen given continual ongoing workload, but it's a good idea.
I'm sorry, what won't happen given the fact that we have a standing committee or
the fact that the standing committee will meet and do something about it?
Okay, that's fair enough. That could also be reviewed. but you're not against making the recommendation?
No.
Okay, is anyone, Aubrey supported it, and it looks like I got to scroll down here to see, Paul supports that as well. Does anyone disagree with the notion of making a recommendation for a standing committee to be on hand to hear these types of issues as they come up on an as-needed basis? Hey, hearing no disagreement, that sounds like something we could recommend. I know people have to drop off the call in about a minute or two, so I want to end it here, but then restart on this for the next call. I'm going to do a doodle for we'll get back to the group on email as to what the plans are for Nairobi. But in the meantime, we're thinking if it's possible to have a call on the 1st or 2nd of March. Again, don't answer now. We'll send around a doodle. Because what I'd really like to do is finish up with all these five stages, at least an initial run through all five before Nairobi, so that we can concentrate on overarching issues at and after Nairobi, as well as some of the issues that we skipped. So look for that doodle. Any other questions that anyone has at this point?
I do. So can you just tell me what your and Marika's and anyone else's estimated time of arrival of this completed project is?
So we need to get back to you. We need to revise the – we had a timeline. We had a plan that
right.
was set around maybe a month or so ago.
Right.
We're a little bit behind on that timeline, but not terribly.
Okay.
So we will have to take that on as an action item to send that around.
Okay. I think it's delivery by Brussels meeting. I think that's the timeline that we're working on.
Correct.
And just to confirm, so you don't want to have – there's no meeting next week, but you want to try to see if we can have a meeting on the 1st or the 2nd. Is that correct?
You're right. I forgot about next week. So I am not able to be on the call next week, but if everybody else is, then please continue. Then I'll send around a note to the list to see if anyone wants to volunteer to chair that call for next week. So there is still a call scheduled for next week. And then the question is whether we also want to schedule something for the 1st or the 2nd.
Are we back to our normal time next week?
Yeah, next week, normal time, which is, I can't remember UTC, but it's East Coast U.S. time. I know it's 9:30 East Coast time. And I may actually be able to join now that I think about it because I'll be on the West Coast, and I don't think any of my meetings at that point will have started by that point. So I'll still send around a note asking if someone could chair if I'm not on. So think about it, and people like James, I might come to you. And I you're probably on mute now, or
or fainted. He fainted.
He put the big X up on the movie. So in all seriousness, if anyone wants to volunteer, and to think a little bit more long term, if anyone wants to volunteer as a vice chair that could chair these meetings, if for any reason I'm unavailable, that would be great because they don't want me to be the reason why this group is held up.
So much nicer having someone to blame.
Well, I'm okay with that. I mean, I am a lawyer, so I'm constantly blamed for a lot of things. That I'm fine with. As long as I actually do it, I'm fine with being blamed. Thank you, everyone, for attending this call. And next week at our regularly scheduled time, and then I'll send a doodle for the 1st or 2nd to have another call.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you.